Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Buffy has created a better comforter for you and the earth. The outside shell is 100% eucalyptus fiber, a unique material that naturally soothes skin.
While the inside fill is made from 100% recycled plastic, which feels softer than down. Customers agree that it's the fluffiest comforter they've ever tried.
And after only 1 year, Buffy has recycled over 2.5 million water bottles.
Wow, that's a lot of water bottles.
Yes, and I love that it's doing good for the environment, and it's also doing good for us to help us sleep better at night.
Yes, try Buffy at home for 30 days, and if you don't love it, return it. Plus, get $20 off your Buffy comforter when you visit buffy.co and enter the code CHALLENGED with a D.
That's buffy.co and enter code CHALLENGED for $20 off.
Hey guys, just wanted to give you a quick warning. In this episode, we discuss emotional and physical abuse. So if this is something you're uncomfortable with or people in the car maybe might not want to listen to it, go ahead and save this special episode for another time.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Yeah, we were supposed to have everything figured out when we were in our 20s.
But guess what?
We didn't, and we still don't.
We don't. We definitely don't.
But that's okay.
It is okay. Today we are going to stop and ask for directions from Brittany Louise Taylor.
You guys might know her from her YouTube channel. She has over 1.2 million subscribers. She's been living her life online for almost a decade now. Yeah. And she actually just came out with a book called A Sucky Love Story, Overcoming Unhappily Ever After. And we thought, what a better way to go into the week of Valentine's Day than to talk about sucky love stories.
We've all had them, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's easy just to like walk into like my favorite place in the whole world, Target or Target, and just see hearts and cupids all around. But that's not always what Valentine's Day looks like for everybody.
No, I think Valentine's Day is actually probably one of my least favorite holidays. So,
did you ever like it?
No, there's so much pressure. And if you're in a relationship, there's pressure. If you're not in a relationship, there's pressure. And I don't think a lot of people like this holiday. I'm all for not celebrating this holiday.
Were you ever in a relationship where like someone was really into Valentine's Day?
Absolutely.
Is Tanner into Valentine's Day?
Yeah. Oh, Tanner loves Valentine's Day. But
Of course he does. He's naturally so sweet.
Yeah. Does he wake you up with maple syrup and poutine?
On his body?
Yeah.
I had a Valentine's Day. I dated another actor before this, Kellen Lutz, and he and I dated for about 3.5 years, a long time. And it was a serious relationship, but he was very into Valentine's Day. And one time woke up, got the keys to my car, and thought it would be a great idea to decorate my car, like all in, you know, chocolates everywhere and like hearts hanging and everything like that. Well, I had an appointment at Warner Brothers and didn't have time to clean it all out before I went. All the chocolate melted.
Oh, everywhere.
All over everything. And I have these hearts dangling from my car. And I drive onto the lot. And the guy at the security gate goes, "Oh, wow, someone's really festive." I just hung my head and like shook it and was just like, "Can you just let me in? Thanks."
Oh, that's so sweet though. That had like great intentions.
Great intentions.
Execution?
Not so much.
Not so much. Yeah. I never put a lot of pressure on Valentine's Day. I feel like I put more pressure on Valentine's Day when I was like a kid at school and, you know, Valentine's Day cards were like a super big deal. And like, I know everyone had to get one, but you're just like, "Oh my gosh, but what if my crush doesn't give me one?" And it was a really big deal. But I, as an adult, I never put pressure on it because I felt like it was the cool girl thing to do. Like, "Oh, I'm a cool girl." You know, like, "I don't care about Valentine's Day. You know, I'm a cool girl. I drink beer and like watch football sometimes." But like, I do care about Valentine's Day. Maybe not right now, like with married life. Kayla and I were talking the other day and I said that, "Oh yeah, Joe and I had a date night on Friday night." And you were like, "You guys are so good about going on date nights." And I think because we have multiple kids and such a crazy schedule with between their sports and academics and our work and our personal life, that we really make an effort to kind of treat our week, like Valentine's Day just happens more often. Like we go to dinners all the time, just the two of us. And we haven't always been like that, mind you. Like obviously there have been times where we are falling behind on that and we can feel it in our marriage. Valentine's Day's never been a big thing. I think when we were long distance, we'd like send each other flowers, but I was always more of a New Year's girl. See, the way that women are, okay, this is a general statement, please do not be offended, but the way that society perceives women to act on Valentine's Day and their level of expectations, I do that for New Year's.
Hmm.
Because I had like a shitty New Year's with like, I've had multiple shitty New Year's with shitty ex-boyfriends. And so that was always my big thing. And I'd never had like a real New Year's kiss. And the first year I was dating Joe, it was like the best New Year's of my life. And
that's when you knew.
Yeah. I mean, I really felt like I knew before that, but that was like just like the cherry on top. Mm. But before I met Joe, I had been in not very kind relationships. And so I read Brittany's book really quickly and I admire her ability to write her story down and to acknowledge the truth and the events that happened to her. And who knows if I'll ever get there one day, but I can say that when you're in a sucky love story, it really does suck everything out of you. And there was a line in her book that she wrote saying, like, "I was a shell of myself." Like she couldn't even recognize her soul and who she was. And I think that's so truthful to women that end up in positions just like Brittany ended up. And I found it really powerful and moving. And I think it's a beautiful, even though it's a sucky love story, it truly is a love letter to other women that might find themselves in really scary relationships.
She was really brave to tell that story and to share every detail because we really we really understand her perspective after reading it. And Yeah, I think sometimes you find yourself in relationships where you don't know how you ended up there.
You don't know how you ended up there, and then you don't know how to get out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's things like Valentine's Day or things like the fact that, you know, she still had a YouTube career that she was focusing on, and that it's, and you kind of are living in this reality where you're like, I don't know how I ended up here, but everything just keeps having Band-Aids put on it. And until you realize, oh my gosh, I've run out of Band-Aids. Like, what do I do now? Mm. And you just can't ignore it anymore. When I was in less than ideal circumstances, and again, this was a long time ago, I had lost myself, and I call her my guardian angel. I have a friend that came over and didn't leave until I packed a bag and got out of there. And I left all of my belongings. I left all of my furniture that was in the house. I left everything. And I went and lived with my aunt for a while. I luckily had, I had family and friends, the friends that I had left at that point. Because I also, like, I wasn't around a lot of my friends from LA because I wasn't living at LA in LA at the time. And so I, my mom flew in and got me, like, forced me to go look at apartments. And because it's a slow process to realize, like, how far gone you are. And so luckily my mom flew into town. I was staying with my aunt, so I had family around me farther away. And I had the friends that were there, my guardian angels, like, heard me and believed me and supported me and, you know, let me cry.
You say believed you. Did you feel like people didn't believe you?
Yes. When everything can look so perfect and wonderful on the outside. You know, even reading Brittany's story, I mean, you're reading all these things and you're like, this sounds perfect. This doesn't sound like a sucky love story. This sounds like a dream. Like, look at this beautiful, like, she, if you look at her YouTube videos, you see their relationship play out. Mm-hmm. Like, and even reading, like, the first couple chapters, I went into reading her book so skeptical, because I'm thinking, like, okay, well, automatically there's just going to be red flags everywhere. And that wasn't necessarily the case. And she wrote, I felt, very honestly about, you know, how wonderful this man was that she met. Mm. And it wasn't until later. And I think that it just looks so great on the outside sometimes that it's really hard to see what's going on in the inside. Because also at that point, you know, who knows if you're letting anyone in, really.
Looking. Well, you let your friends in enough to let them be there to support you and get you out of it, which is so important. I think that that is key, because in Brittany's story, she writes about the fact that she wasn't able to do that. And so I'm happy you had people there.
Yeah. I mean, I could call you. I knew I had you. Yeah. We had a very great long distance friendship.
We did.
And, but what's impressive is that, I think that Brittany was able to share her story. I think it's an important story for women and young women to read, and just know that, like, yeah, sometimes relationships can be wonderful and sometimes they can end not very well. And then sometimes they can be really bad. And the most important thing is, you can learn and grow from all of that. And it's not necessarily your fault. And she really does such a great picture. She paints such a beautiful picture of who she's grown to become from her experiences in her book. So I'm really, really excited for her to be on this podcast today. Mm-hmm. I'm excited we get to ask her all about her journey. It is a wild one.
It's a wild one. And thank you for sharing a little bit of your journey too, because it's nice for people to hear that others have been through it. Because I know there's a lot of people who have experienced that in their
life. Yeah, it's a hard thing, I think, for anyone to talk to that's been through it. But look, Brittany Louise Taylor, you encouraged me to open up about it. And so hopefully others are listening to this podcast today can open up to their friends or loved ones if they're feeling any of those things.
And we'll be back with Brittany Louise Taylor right after the break.
Dear Ashley Challenged. All right, guys, we are here with Brittany Louise Taylor. You guys might know her from her YouTube channel that she's had for over a decade. She's got over 1.2 million subscribers. Well, she just released her first book in December, and it's called A Sucky Love Story, Overcoming Unhappily Ever After. Brittany, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We both read your book in a day.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
I couldn't put it down. I have so many questions. I just think you're so brave for sharing your story.
Well, thank you. No, it's good. I had like a 65,000 word max, so I'm sure there'll be some things you learned that weren't in the book.
Well, what made you want to write this book? This is a very personal story that you've shared to your YouTube followers, your subscribers, and what made you want to put it down in a book form?
Well, I mean, it was really complicated legally wise because I started writing the book while my trial was going on, and the judge told me like you cannot talk about this on social media. And being someone that, you know, is used to putting their whole life out for the public, it was really hard for me because not only had I gone through something so traumatic and found out so many lies, but then now I couldn't talk about it anywhere. So I just started talking to my laptop, and before I knew it, it turned into a book. Like, I did not plan on, I'm going to, you know, monetize my situation. It was more like I just needed to tell someone, and I want the whole entire world to know basically what happened.
Well, I'm sure all of our listeners are like, wait, trial? What? I thought this was a love story, a sucky love story.
It's a really sucky love story.
Well, let's start at the very good beginning because I hear it's a very good place to start. So tell us about meeting Milos, and that's how you say his name, right?
Yeah, Milos. I was 31, and you know how it is in LA. Like, if you have a career, you're working a lot. I wasn't a big partier. I wasn't going out. So one of my friends was on Tinder that I kind of had a crush on, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, if he's using Tinder, like, why don't I try it? So started swiping, went through a few different relationships that didn't work out. Great people, just wasn't right for me. And then I saw Milos. So he was a doctor from Europe, had a really cute little dog that was an English bulldog. And even from the beginning, I knew wasn't right, but he was just so dang attractive that I was like, swipe right. So from there, it progressed pretty quickly. So he was messaging me right after we matched and, wanted my phone number and, blew me off on our first date, which made, our second, our actual first date when we met kind of complicated because I already had my guard up. Mm-hmm. And it's just hard. I mean, when I met him, I think, again, like, I had warning bells and my gut instincts, but I thought, maybe I'm having like these things around him because he's so attractive or so successful because he's a doctor. And
yeah, I've looked up pictures of him. He's a good looking guy. And also
very solid looking.
And we were I'll admit it. I was a little bit judgy before I read the book. I was like, okay, what guy did you just jump into a relationship with? You're probably out partying. Like, I remember jumping into crazy relationships before, and you weren't doing any of those things. Like, you had actually just come out of kind of a really sucky relationship before that. So I would assume like you were actually pretty clear headed.
I had strong feelings for the one before him because he was a really nice guy, but he just was messed up. I don't think I wasn't in the right mind frame to really be able to see left from right. I think I wanted to prove something. And I thought, okay, this incredible guy came along and, I've watched enough movies to like know like, ooh, cute foreigner. Like, I'm going to have like this, Lucy and Desi thing. I don't know. Like I thought maybe because it was so real is why I was having so much anxiety. Well, I didn't talk about anything else.
It's such a whirlwind romance. I mean, he's almost too good to be true. So good looking and so sweet to you, texting you all the time to the point where you are kind of thinking, oh, is it too much? But I mean, that's sort of a dream, especially, we've all dated in LA and the type of people that you meet. I totally see how you just completely were swept off your feet. And that's you tell the story so well that all of us can relate to it. We've all been there.
I wanted to write it like as I was living it. So you could understand like my frame of mind. So I was like, okay, this is how, what was happening when, and what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I met him, I fell really hard, really fast. But like, as you know, things like took a turn from the beginning because his family was against us.
Yeah.
So.
What was the first red flag for you?
I think the first red flag was not even when his family wanted him to come back to Europe to run their businesses because they're extremely wealthy and, you know, they cut him off financially. So then I started helping him just so he could get his boards done. So he'd be board certified. Like that, it wasn't even a red flag. I think the first part when things started to get weird is when the verbal abuse started. Mm-hmm. So, because I think you can tolerate everything in a relationship till someone starts to scare you or like mistreat you and mm-hmm. like you start to lose respect. So I think the first moment that I started to pull back a little bit was when he started like, you know, taking out his aggression or, you know, things he was going through out on me. But the problem was I chalked it up to, I want to make excuses for people. I'm always such a softie. So when he was, you know, being mean to me, I made excuses. When he, you know, when he had a bad day and then, you know, all of a sudden it was my fault, I kept thinking, okay, because he has all this stress because he had a ton of money. And now because he stayed in the US and he's with me, he doesn't. Like I kept making excuses for his behavior. And the moment you start doing that for someone, that's a big red flag. Mm-hmm.
And just for our listeners, like he was a doctor back in Serbia, correct?
Yes.
And he just needed to pass tests here in the US, in California specifically, so that he could start practicing medicine here.
100%. Yeah. You have to be board certified because they want to make sure that like, you know, you did go to medical school, you do, you know, but even though he went to an accredited college in Serbia, like, you know, University of Belgrade or whatever it was, they have to make sure that you know what you're doing. So they make, you know, doctors that are foreign, when they come to the United States, you have to take like standardized tests.
Yes.
So he just needed to pass the test to be board certified in order to start a residency here in the United States.
And how long did it take him to finish his test?
Well, I mean, when I basically, because he was teaching tennis lessons to like older wealthy women, because, you know, at that point he was also like a tennis star until he got injured.
Okay, so this is where I was going nuts reading this book, because first of all, reading your story, because first of all, I was like, okay, he's a doctor. My dad's a doctor. So I like understood all, like, I was like, okay, wow, this is really cool. And then hearing that his family has a really successful furniture business, and then there was a coffee business, and mm-hmm. then he had used to like have a nightclub. So his family obviously seemed to have a lot of business in Serbia, and he came from money, but then all of a sudden now he was a tennis coach / ex-tennis champion.
Yeah, he used to brag all the time how he knew Djokovic because, you know, that he's Serbian as well. And I would go watch, you know, Milos play, and he would, you know, at one point he was getting paid to play tennis with this girl who was up and coming. She was nationally ranked. I don't know if she was in the top 20, I think, for juniors. So Milos was a really good tennis player.
And the other thing I saw is that you kept writing, like, this was photo proof. Like, it's not like he would say these things and you would just automatically believe him. Like, he had photos of himself in scrubs, like in a surgical room.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He obviously was like coaching people tennis. Like, you'd met his quote unquote friends at this point who had like spoken about his family. Like,
yep.
There was backups to all these stories that he was telling you.
Oh yeah. 100%. There was always a picture, a text message, an email, you know, or I would, you know, I met some of the women that he coached. Like, we went to lunch. They would always treat me like jealous girlfriends, which was really strange. But I actually met his clients. So yeah, I actually met, you know, his friends, his clients, his, you know, so there wasn't anything there that would tip me off.
So you guys date for a year, then you have a conversation about getting married, right? It wasn't
what happened was it was January 2nd of 2016. I was doing a job for sci-fi for one of their shows that was coming out, and I was going to be filming up at Magic Castle. And I remember I was back, you know, just in the back room of my house, and Milos got a phone call, and he just started pacing, getting kind of panicky, like, you know, you don't want to do this kind of conversation. And I was like, what is going on? He hangs up, he comes into my, you know, the room where I was in, and he's like, there's something I need to tell you. He said, because, you know, at that point we talked about marriage, but we weren't engaged. And he kept saying he needed to like join the military or something, or it was just getting weird. So He said he told me at that point that a woman was blackmailing him. She was a prostitute, like a call girl. And he used to hang out with this group of friends, and there were photos of them like all together in a group. But I guess like this woman had her eye out for Milos, and she had found my email and whatnot and sent all these text messages and like photos. But there was nothing incriminating. There wasn't like a photo of them like making out. Like, yeah, was there a photo of them in groups where like her arms around him? Yeah, but it wasn't. It was like photos like a friend. Like everyone had their arms around each other, if that makes sense.
So you guys have been together for a year.
Yeah.
You just had Christmas with each other's families.
Yeah, we did. His mom had come in from Serbia to the United States, and we went over to his friend's house. And yeah, we all had Christmas together. And then it was definitely progressing.
It was progressing. He comes in. You've been together for, and again, like a year is a long time. Like when you're an adult in a relationship, it's like, okay, where is this going to go? What's the next step? So this was so crazy to me that within 1 minute of saying, hey, we need to talk, you found out that he had potentially been cheating with a hooker named Bunny. Also had married an older woman for a green card, an older wealthy woman for a green card. And then also, it freaked me out knowing that, what do you remember, the obviously the Christmas gift that he'd wanted from you?
A gun. I mean, but he had told me because everyone like in Serbia serves in the military usually in some way, shape, or form. So he had told me that he was like, you know, special forces or whatever, and did a year or something like after, it was before or after medical school. So it didn't seem unnatural. What?
It's quite the life he's lived.
It didn't seem unnatural though that he would want a gun, because I'm in Arizona and everyone loves their guns here. So I think it was probably my upbringing that made me naive on that topic.
But like, not only that, didn't he also then mention that his family is connected to the Serbian mafia?
Yeah, at that point, it's getting better. So at that point, he said that his family would take care of it. So I was like, what do you mean that your mom's business partner will take care of it? Yeah, take care of Bunny, like silence her. And he's like, well, you know, there's something else I need to tell you. Like basically that his business partner, or his mom's business partner, who's like a father to him, is like high up in the Serbian mafia. So I mean, at that point it was, but then he kept saying, he's like, I left all that. He told me before that he had like left in the middle of the night with a suitcase. Like they didn't even know he was coming to the United States. He just wanted to do his medicine. And I kept justifying it, thinking, okay, well, if I was born into that situation, you can't control who your parents are, but you can control your future. So I was thinking, I felt scared, but I also saw things from his perspective where he just wanted to start a new life.
What made you realize in hindsight that it was verbal abuse? Like what all of a sudden shifted? Did you notice times that he would,
I think that the biggest indication for like verbal abuse is when it's not warranted. And I wouldn't just say something. I could say like, oh, it's going to be cold outside, grab a jacket or something. And he could turn that into a fight. So I think that's a big indication about any kind of like verbal abuse, is when someone goes out of their way to pick fights with you on a regular basis. It got to the point where I would count days. I'd be like, oh, he hasn't yelled at me in a week. Cool. Like,
wow.
And I tried to keep my mom out of it, because at this point in my life, you know, my dad had passed away. It was my only really extended family was my mom. But I did end up telling her, like, he yells at me. And my mom did like have a conversation like, you need to stop yelling at Brittany, because I didn't want to get my mom involved in my relationship. But, you know, they had a pretty close, you know, bond at that point, and they were talking, and I wanted it to change and maybe be able to salvage it, because it was getting to be too much. Like I was financially supporting him. I was dealing with all his BS all the time. He was screaming at me. I just felt like there was no respect. Like, here I am trying to help your dreams come true, and you're doing nothing but being mean to me.
So then at this point, you decide maybe you want to break off the relationship, right? You're in New York.
It was about March. Yeah, I got a job. I auditioned and got a job hosting for a car company. And I had to go out first for rehearsals, and then, you know, I booked it once that, you know, they did like a pilot for it. And then when I was in New York for 2 weeks and away from him, because Milos couldn't come because he was quote unquote studying for his boards. So when I was there, it was like the best 2 weeks that I had had since I got in a relationship with Milos, like, you know, once things started getting bad. So that's not a good indication if you're away from someone and you're relieved and happy that you're away from them and you don't want to see them when you come back. Like, I wanted to stay in New York forever. So at that point, I pretty much knew that I wanted to at least take a break, and I needed him to get some like financial independence and, you know, move out. And it was just too much. Like, mm-hmm. you know, all that had happened. And even though, you know, Bunny, like, and him hadn't cheated, I thought at that point, I still felt like I had been cheated on in some weird way. Like, I feel like she had tainted or poisoned our relationship, and I wanted a break. So when I got back from LA, I was ready to call it off. But the only problem was my period was late, and I am usually like clockwork, like to the day. I am always, and I thought, well, maybe I'm just so stressed because I'm breaking up with Milos and I've been working long hours for 2 weeks. Like, maybe that's it. But I had an inkling that something was going on. So I kept wanting, I was vegan at that point, and I kept like craving protein, and like, I just wanted like chicken or protein bars or anything when I was in New York. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? So I ordered I ordered a pack of 25 like pregnancy strips from Amazon. I thought, okay, well, I'll just like do a bunch, make sure.
Maybe one of them so won't be when I got positive.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I thought, you know, if one's an error, if I do like 20, then, you know, then I'll have a pretty good indication of the answer. So I got back to, I didn't even tell Milos. I think it was that night I got back. My tests were there. I peed in a cup, dipped the strip in, and like within seconds, it was like pregnant. Did another one within seconds, pregnant. Mm. 5 in a row. Cause I mean, that hormone was very present in my body. After like 5, yeah, I was pregnant. And at that point, I mean, I'm ashamed of it now, but then I just was so upset that I was pregnant. Because one, it wasn't planned. 2, like, we weren't married. 3, like, I wanted to break up with this guy. And then now I have this being growing inside of me that will forever tie me to someone that I don't know if I want to be around. So that was probably one of the darkest points of my life, when that should have been like a happy moment.
First of all, finding out
I was pregnant was really hard.
There's any shame in any of those feelings. I mean, you recognized you were in an abusive situation. You had finally kind of seen a glimpse of the light. And that's a big shock. I mean, even people that are like trying to get pregnant sometimes like see, like, I know even my husband and I were trying to get pregnant, and I was like, oh my God, what happened? He's like, yeah, we're married. We did this on purpose. I was like, oh yeah, oh, this is crazy.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. The original True Body Bra by TrueandCo.com is the bra women are talking about. Over 500,000 women have bought it and swear by it.
You won't believe how good the True Body Bra looks when you put it on. The buttery soft fabric smooths you out in all the right places and has no wires, so it's super comfortable.
But unlike other wire-free bras, the original True Body Bra is made with proprietary fabric that still gives you the support you need. It took over 6 years of collecting data from 7 million women to make this game-changing bra. So it's no surprise that TrueandCo.com has sold over 500,000 of the original True Body Bras.
It just goes to show that great things happen when women come together. The Today Show calls it game-changing, and Good Housekeeping says it's the ultimate lounge bra.
Oh, I just love how...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Comfortable it is, and it's smooth. It does really smooth you out, even in a tight t-shirt,
and gives you that lift.
Try the original True Body Bra from True & Co. today with free and easy returns, and save 15% now when you go to trueandco.com/challenged and enter the code challenged. That's trueandco.com/challenged.
And we're back.
Can I just step in and ask you really quickly, because I think a huge factor of this pregnancy and this whole relationship is that, you know, you openly write about the fact that you were a virgin before you met him.
I was.
So this was the first time you were sexually active with someone, and then you became pregnant, right? And so it's one of those, I think that's so much more of an emotional tie to a relationship and then now to a pregnancy, right?
And I think, you know, I was waiting, I thought, you know, at least till love, and I just hadn't had a, you know, a love moment. And then I fell in love with Milos, and it just, you know, nothing was going as planned. Like, he still didn't have a job. Like, I was going into serious debt. I've had sex for the first time with this person. Now I'm with him and pregnant, and, you know, everything's wrong. Nothing about it was right. It wasn't like, oh, okay, well, I'm pregnant and he has a job and I have a cute little ring and we're getting married. And I just wanted even a gold band. I wanted something that he had purchased that basically said, like, we are actually together. So, cause I mean, at that point we were engaged. Like, he had asked me to, you know, marry him, and I said yes, but he didn't have a ring. So I just felt like everything was, we were just going backwards in a really strange way.
Mm-hmm. But whenever it goes really bad, magically, like, positive news comes, right? Because all of a sudden it was a dark time. You talk about how it was the first time he put his hands on you in a physically abusive way when you were pregnant.
Well, I mean, and that was really confusing, because he had been verbally abusive. And then I just had one of those days where I was, you know, going into debt. I wasn't working. I wasn't making YouTube videos. I'd basically disappeared from the internet. So I, you know, he still hadn't passed his board. So I went into the kitchen and I grabbed a bunch of, like, black trash bags, and I started putting his stuff into trash bags. And not to, like, laugh. It was funny at that moment. But then the moment he saw what I was doing, he ended up chasing me all over the house and, like, hurting my hand. And I tried to get out the front door, and he had me, like, pinned against a wall, and I went to push his face away, and he told me that I had hurt his eye. Like, all of a sudden it was like, my eye. And then it was strange, because I went from being that he had hurt me to all of a sudden thinking I had hurt him.
Now he's the victim.
Yeah, he's the victim, even though I was trying to get away from him. Mm-hmm. So, And then at that point, then he found out that, because when I met him, he had told me, and I was never with him for money. I wouldn't have obviously stayed with him for money, but, like, money makes your life easier, but it's not a motivation for a relationship for me. So at that point, he told me he had money in a fund in Russia. When I met, he had told me about that, but it had been sanctioned. So all of a sudden, like, a banker friend of theirs had a way to get the money out. And then, you know, he was getting, his portion was like $10 billion. So
with a B.
With billion. A B. Yeah, $10 billion, which made me kind of nervous as I, you know, I didn't want to be bought. I think I wanted to figure out how I really felt about him. But then I started buying into the fantasy of like, oh my gosh, like look at these houses that we're looking at. Like I can put a playground here. My son could be like having sleepovers with his friends. Like I started building this whole life for myself.
Well, you're pregnant and you're in debt. And he goes, hey, here's money. And if that's not going to fix everything, like the relationship, at least it'll fix a lot of other things.
When I was 7 months pregnant, we decided for sure that we're selling my house. We're moving down to San Diego. We started looking at like $8 million properties down there in Rancho Santa Fe and found a couple that we liked. And we're going to put in an offer. And at this point, my good friend was also my real estate agent, was, you know, marketing the house. And it was like the night before an open house, he told me that the banker had run away with the money. So there was going to be a delay. So here I am, like, selling a house that I absolutely love in LA.
And your house that you worked so hard to buy.
We ended up moving down to San Diego. But then the moment we got down to San Diego, I found out that Milos had been watching porn my entire relationship at night when he said he was studying. Because my mom actually found out. She helped us move. And then I was working on a branded job and my desktop was broken. So I was editing on my laptop. We didn't have cable at that point. So Milos had loaned my mom his laptop. So my mom goes into the web browser and I think was going to just type in like YouTube to look at my videos or something. And the moment she started typing like you, it populated like Uges, you porn, all and these sites. And my mom's like, Brittany, what is this?
I so love that it's your mom that found it too.
My mom, Corey. Oh yeah, great timing. So then I go over to his computer and I looked into his history and there was nothing that day or the previous days, anything. It was just normal, like, you know, his practice quiz questions or articles he was reading or whatnot. But I went into his history and I knew how to search. So I just put in like sex into the history and then it populated all the stuff he didn't delete. And I looked at the dates and it was pretty much my entire pregnancy. And I mean like interactive, kinky.
Yeah. Cause some people, weird. a lot of couples are fine with porn and into each their own. And
I'm not judging. I was just, it so was just, pregnant. And when he was supposed to be studying at night, he was like, you know,
it was live chatting, someone else. Right. Yeah. It was interactive live chatting porn.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know,
which you would not agree to in your relationship.
It created kind of a World War III between my mom and Milos because my mom then hated Milos because, you know, I think she put the pieces together quicker than I did. And she started to see like this guy isn't working. You know, he's not treating my daughter right. He's, you know, been yelling at her. And she had also seen firsthand the day that we found out that he was watching porn. I was filming a video for a bakery. And they had garlic bread and I'd found like a soundstage in San Diego and I just needed a green screen that was pre-lit to make my life easier. So they also were filming a show on one of the other stages and that was the only area that they had a big trash can. So I did not want to dump out the stinky garlic bread on this soundstage because it's a hot set and it would reek. And I did not want to do that. So I thought, okay, I can just bring it back with me and throw it away at the gas station or on the way. And Milos ripped the tray out of my hands in front of my mom and took it and dumped it in the trash can that I didn't want to dump it in. And then was just on me the whole ride back while I was crying, like, you know, kind of going at me. And my mom was like, what's wrong with you? That was the first time she had seen him like being somewhat abusive in front of her. Mm-hmm. So at that point, my mom, you know, she was trying to keep things to herself. But I mean, she, you know, finally just like, was like, okay, I'm going to be on Brittany's side and I'm going to take a step back and, you know, I'll be like the good grandmother. And then Milos's mom got into town and that's when things just, there was no turning back from there. So my son was born on December 6th. And then the moment that my son was born, his mom like acted like my son belonged to her.
Milos's mom acted like
I was a broodmare. The moment that child was out, she kept calling him my baby. And if he was crying, she would go and take him out of my arms. So imagine if you're a new mother and your new, like, your mother-in-law keeps taking your, like, few day old child away from you when you're trying to comfort them, any mom will tell you they'd probably want to kill them because you just have those protective instincts and you are the mom.
And just to clarify, you are now living in San Diego in a townhouse that you're paying for still.
That I'm paying for. Yeah. He has a debit card. I also had traded in and got him a new car. So I'm paying everything. His car insurance, his car lease. He had a debit card for all his, you know, things that he needs in just normal life.
Not his own debit card that went linked to you.
To my checking account. Yeah. So in the townhouse, there's my mom, his mom, him, the dog, my son, and myself.
Wow. And your postpartum, like you're in your fourth trimester, which I always love to call it. Cause it's true. Just because you have the baby doesn't mean that you're not still like on this crazy roller coaster ride of emotions.
Like at one point, I was sitting on the bed and like curled up in a ball and my mom had our son in the other room. And, you know, I had the changing pad and the diapers and the wipes and everything in my bedroom. So, you know, he had, you know, pooped. So she needed like to change his diaper. So she had knocked on the door and Milosh was yelling at me and pushed it open a little bit. And she's like, you know, I've got to change, you know, his diaper. And Milosh went straight at her and was like, you get out. And he had his arm up and he slammed the door like in my mom's face, within inches of our son and her. So even my mom said at that point, she's like, why didn't I just call the police? But I think my mom, she grew up in an abusive household. So for her, she almost fell in the same thing as me, where we just kept trying to please him and fix things. And she saw me hurting so much and she wanted to fix it. And then he got strep throat and he also failed his board exams. He told me he took them.
Which you were also paying for.
Yeah. I had paid $800 or something for him to, you know, take it again. But the first time he took it, he told me his mom had paid like $30,000 because he's a foreigner and they have to go through certain certification for him to be able to take the boards. Right. So he took the boards it was December 30th of 2016. He's not 17 yet. So he told me he had taken the boards. And then right after the test, he came over crying and said he had failed. And I had had enough. I really was ready. I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Do I, you know, get a nanny in LA? Do I go to Arizona? And then he got strep throat and he was so sick for, it was over 2 weeks. And then he told me he went to the hospital, but I didn't go with him because I didn't want to bring our son into all the germs, obviously. And then they ran some tests and then he told me that he found out he had cancer. So at this point,
Did he say what kind of cancer?
Yeah, he said he had myeloid fibrosis, which is a really rare kind of like blood cancer. And all the symptoms that he was having, like the strep throat, he had a white stripe down his, you know, the back of his throat, like he had issues with like his, spleen area, all the symptoms that he was having lined up with the cancer that he was diagnosed with. So immediately, because my dad had passed away from cancer, I was like, I forgave everything. I was like, okay, all the verbal abuse, how awful he's been being, it's all been because he had cancer and he failed his boards because of the cancer. And I was like, even though at that point I did want to leave him, I felt like I couldn't abandon him because this is the father of my child who's now really sick.
Yeah.
So I had my mom go back to Arizona. So I said, you know, I need to be with him. I need to fix this on my own. And my mom told me later, she's like, I was at the airport and she's like, I thought about getting a hotel room. She's like, I just felt like I shouldn't leave. It didn't feel right. And I was super sad the day that she left. It didn't feel right to me either. I think because my mom had been my biggest support and like basically the other parent since my son was born. And now she's leaving and I knew that I was going to be on my own again with him and his mom. And I wasn't really looking forward to it. So when my mom left, the first day that he came back, I was just more quiet. I wasn't being mean to him. I was just more sad when we went out to get food and it was our first time taking our son like out of the house together. And in the car ride back, he started screaming at me and telling me that basically like I gave him cancer and it's my fault because of the stress that I put him through, why he was sick. And you know, it was the meanest things you could tell me just because of what I went through with my dad. Like that is like the meanest thing. So
do you think he knew that that's what would really hurt you?
Oh, 100%. Like he's a master manipulator.
How do you find out the truth? What happens next?
Well, the Milos had told me that he like had switched, and now he had it was lymphoblastic leukemia. So it was he told me he had acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and he was on it was different immunotherapy drugs, right?
But then he starts playing tennis, right?
Yeah, he starts playing tennis, and you know, has a lot of energy, which is weird because my dad had cancer and he was in bed all day. Like, it's exhausting when you're fighting that battle. It's hard. So I kept laying awake at night and researching like doctors, hospitals, that kind of stuff. And at one point I was like, okay, he's on Rituxan, right? Or Rituxan. And I went onto the drug manufacturer website and I was curious how it was administered because Milos wasn't letting me go to the appointments. I just saw like band-aids on his arm or, you know, his heart would be racing. I saw the aftermath, but I wasn't there. So I started looking up how they do this, what's the process. And when I saw that it was administered by IV, everything clicked. I was like, wait a minute. There's not a mark on his body. If you had been getting IV injections like every day or every 2 days for this period of time, his arm would be bruised, right?
He also remarkably kept coming home tan.
He told me he was sitting outside at the hospital and just getting some sun in between appointments, like just because it felt good to be out in the air, but like everything was getting tan.
So
like,
was he going to the beach?
Not just his like face.
What was he doing?
I have no idea. So probably looking for his next mark. So he like everything was getting tan, like his back, like even his butt was getting tan. I'm like, what are you up to?
So it turns out he didn't have cancer at all.
No, he was faking cancer. But at that point I knew he was really dangerous. Was like the person. And I knew I was still, what was so sickening is like, I still, some part of me still felt the need for his control and approval. But at that point too, Milos had ramped up all the mafia stuff and told me that he had actually killed people, that he had seen, you know, bodies in soup and had, you know, people nailed to the wall. And, you know, before he had told me he'd only done some money laundering for his family, which I wasn't thrilled about, but like at least, you know, I thought he hadn't killed anyone. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what he was capable of.
Were also collecting evidence along the way, which someone in an emotionally abusive and physically abusive situation, I mean, that's just so impressive that you were able to find that courage. And I think it's so beautiful that your mom was there and that you were both like the light was turned on, but you also knew what you had to get done for the sake of your son's safety and your family's safety. And you totally called him on his bluff. You took him to court. You did not back down. You collected all the evidence needed. You spoke with the cops. You made sure everything was on record. And where do you think you found that courage and strength at that point?
If I hadn't had my son, I probably would have just let it go. I would have moved to like the middle of nowhere, changed my identity. But because my son was involved and had been born and I was so in love with him, I knew it wasn't just me anymore and I needed to protect him. So, I mean, yeah. And I think that what's scary is the things that I found out when I left, like that, you know, he may not be a doctor, that he was never a tennis player.
He was not a doctor.
I cannot say 100% that he is not a doctor, but during 15 hours of trial, he was not able to prove it. So, I mean, one of the main like questions that was funny, I told my lawyer to ask him like, what's a W-2 or what's a 1099? He was like, huh? What? Like during the trial, like did not know at all what these documents were proving that he had not worked in the United States since he came here. So
was he a tennis player? Was he actually
There is a Milos Mihailovic who is nationally ranked in tennis, but it's someone way younger. It's not him. Like there is a Milos Mihailovic that composes music, but it's not him. Like he had told me all these things. So I basically think that he maybe went to Google, just typed in his name and then found and created this whole identity. Cause there's even a Milos Mihailovic who was a part of the mafia who was deported back to Serbia. And I'm like, did he, you know, think, oh, that'd be cool. I'm part of the mafia. Oh, cool. I'm a tennis player. Oh, cool.
So do we know if he was part of the mafia?
I don't know. That's the part. Because what's weird is when I was with him, I saw a lot of his family's quote unquote transactions. I saw emails. I saw things they were doing. But I believe they're more like leeches. Like they find people that have companies and have money and have wealth. And because Milos is a doctor, like, you know, people drop their guards right away and he's extremely charismatic. And then they figure out how they can help them. So they told me they had a coffee company. They don't own it, but they were trying to sell the rights to the US to different like, you know, coffee like shops and whatnot. So it's almost like they would get to be a middleman and get a percentage, if that makes sense. So I think that they would just latch on to anyone that had any kind of successful business and then try to figure out a way to get some money from what it was already working. But I mean, I cannot say for sure what, because I mean, I've talked to other people that are Serbian and they say everyone's in some sort of mafia there after Yugoslavia broke apart. So, you know, even if it's not, you know, or a clan or a group or whatever they're a part of, like, I don't know. I cannot say for sure what on that part.
Well, what you so can scary. Say is that you have legal custody of your son, Rex.
I do.
And he's beautiful.
Thank you. And he knows it. God, I'm in so much trouble. He's just like the most confident little thing. Like, he just marches up to anyone and everyone and is so sweet. But like, at least I know he's not a sociopath, because he's just, the moment he thinks I'm upset with him, he'll just start crying and hugging me like, I'm sorry, Mom. So he's just, he's a good boy. But no, I mean, I think, I don't even know if his name's Milos or if he's the age he says he is, or, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to thank you because I feel like this story is really important to share, because there will be others who go through a situation like this or something similar, and they need to read your book. They need to hear your story, because you can hopefully help people and avoid this situation in the future.
And if you haven't been through a relationship where you accidentally find yourself in love with this scamming, potentially Serbian mafia man, you can still, I mean, the reality is that emotional abuse is real, and you don't see those bruises on the skin, and they are so deep and they are so hard to heal. Do you feel like you've been able to heal at this point?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me has just been working through one trigger at a time. And you're always going to have, when you leave those kind of situations, PTSD. So for a long time, if I saw like a white van, I would just start shaking. Like, I would think someone was coming for me, or if a stranger was looking at me or being friendly, I would automatically think, oh, did Milos send them? Or, I had a lot that I needed to get through. So I think that, you know, you have to be patient, put yourself in like a loving situation. But I've talked to so many women since my book have come out, like even one this morning. And the hardest part is to get past the fear. And I think the only way is to, you have to be smart, like figure out a way to get out of the situation, like, you know, have a support system and stay out. Like, on average, when abused women leave a relationship, it takes 7 times before they leave it for good. I've talked to some women here at the abuse shelter in town, and one woman, her husband shoved her through a window and she got cuts all over her face, and she still went back to him. And I think that that's what's so hard about abuse, is just the control factor. And if you are going through it, it's not ever warranted or valid. And if you know someone that's going through it, you just have to be there, because you can't talk bad about the abused person. They just need support, and they need love, and they need an example of what a healthy relationship is. So they start to realize what they're going through isn't healthy or valid or warranted or allowed.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. So is there advice that you want to give our listeners, or?
Oh my God. Yeah. So many. One, trust your gut, because from the start, my gut was screaming at me that something was wrong. And even though he was perfect on paper and in person, like, you got to listen to those instincts, because they're there for a reason. So one, trust your gut. Two, I'd be careful what you tell anyone, like, you know, hide your personal documents, as we had issues with them stealing like my birth certificate and trying to traffic us and that kind of stuff. So anything that is valuable to you, hide your passwords, don't share. You can be in love and they don't need to know everything about you or have access to your, like, you know, your ID, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's protecting yourself that way. And then also, I think the first time that you are afraid of someone should be the last time. So if you are with someone and they are scaring you, or you are afraid when you're with them, or you feel controlled, you're being controlled, you're afraid for a reason, that's valid. It doesn't matter if it's going to embarrass your friends or family, because I feel like a lot of us stay in relationships because we're just embarrassed. We don't want to let everyone down. We don't want to break up and then, you know, tell our mom. And that's just the wrong reason to stay with someone, because you are worried about what anyone else thinks.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Brittany. Aww. Thank you for your book. Thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for finding the strength to write it all down on paper so that other people can read it and know that they're not alone.
Thank you for having me.
We're so grateful.
That's my biggest thing now. I just want to raise awareness. I just want to save as many people as
so
I can.
So everyone listening, go out and buy Brittany Louise Taylor's book, A Sucky Love Story, Overcoming Unhappily Ever After. And also check out her YouTube channel if you haven't already.
Dear Ashley Challenged.
So we didn't have time to necessarily continue our conversation with Brittany, but we just still wanted a little bit more. We wanted to know how she's doing now. You know, we heard about her sucky love story. We heard about how she, you know, the redemption of everything she'd been through. She has her son, and we wanted to know what advice she has for our listeners now, now that she's on the other side of it. So we decided to call her up and ask her just a few more questions and see if she had any insight for you guys. And this is what she said.
When I first got out, I was a total mess. Yes. But I realized that if I wouldn't have met Milos, I wouldn't have had my son. If I wouldn't have had my son, I would have never known what real love is. And I would have never written this book. And I would have never been able to take a stand and be a voice for all these women and men who go through abusive situations and stay silent. So I wouldn't change anything that happened to me, and I would do it all over again just to have Rex.
Wow. What a story she has. I just think that Brittany is so brave for telling it, but not only that, she has clearly turned a new chapter in her life. And I really think that the one thing she got out of it too was her son, which is really exciting. And she prefaces her book by saying, "Little dinosaur, you were all worth it," which I think is a really wonderful way to know that in the end of all of this craziness, that she has this incredible being that has changed her life forever for the better. And she just is so open about how much this experience has changed her, but she wrote a book about it and she really started to become, it's her way of dealing with it openly with her fans and with the public.
I took a storytelling class late last year, and which it's really just you, it's a way to kind of get up and share stories. If anyone knows about The Moth, it's kind of in that vein. And, but it was a group of people in 2 weeks, and we got really vulnerable with each other. And a lot of people ended up sharing stories that they didn't think they would, that about traumatic events in their life. And one thing that was interesting as the teacher was kind of telling us is that it's interesting that you share a story once and the first time it's so hard. And the more you share it, the more the weight kind of comes off of your shoulders and comes off of your heart, and you process it in a different way. And it's kind of a way of healing and making peace with the events that have happened to you and the events that you've lived through. And what I realized must have been so hard for Brittany is that she had gone through so many traumatic events in this relationship with Milos, that, and she'd been so used to living her life online and sharing her life, that legally, for the safety of her child, she couldn't share these events. She couldn't acknowledge that they were wrong. She couldn't acknowledge that it was true, that it was really happening to her. And it wasn't until the trial was over, and it wasn't until she put it down on paper and wrote this book filled with legal documents towards the end, that she was able to legally tell her story and sit and shout it from the rooftops. This happened, and it's not fair. And if it's happening to you, it's not fair either.
Well, and clearly it was part of her therapy to write about it and to go through it. And I think it started the healing process for her, which is really great.
There were so many things we didn't get to because we just ran out of time.
Her story is so crazy. So there's a character, Bunny, that we mentioned a little bit in the interview, and she is another girl who is simultaneously being played by Milos at the same time. Now, when she first reaches out to Brittany, Brittany's being told she's a stripper. She's being, you know, she's a crazy girl.
Yeah, she's a call girl that is basically blackmailing Milos
for money
and trying to talk to Brittany, saying, "Hey, you know, I've been sleeping with your boyfriend and everything is a lie." And he's like, "But she's just some crazy hooker that's blackmailing me. This woman named Bunny."
And when you love someone, you want to believe that. So Brittany did believe that for a significant amount of time. And it wasn't until her trial that Bunny pulled through for her. And
Bunny was the one that came in and had all these text messages. She brought the receipts, let's just say that. And so who you would think would have been like this woman that was just trying to ruin Brittany's life and her love and her relationship, she actually was the one that saved her in the end. And it, without Bunny's testimony,
we don't know what would have happened.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, and who knows, maybe they still would have won, but it definitely was a big push into Brittany getting, the full custody of her child that she did get, because it shows that he didn't just do this to Brittany. He was doing this to other women as well.
And isn't it nice to have an ally as you're going through that and coping through it? I mean, in my mind, they have each other now and they kind of went through the same ordeal. And so I hope, I mean, she said they still stay in contact. So I, in my mind, I'm like, good, you girls, like, be there for each other. Like, yeah, woman to woman, let's help each other through these crazy situations.
And the hardest thing you can do after going through a sucky love story is to be able to step into a relationship with your heart open for a happy love story. Mm. But you can. Just make sure you take the time to do the work on yourself. Because at the end of the day, like, whatever partner you're with, you know, you're still, like, your number one partner is yourself. Like, you have to go to bed, even if you're next to someone, with yourself at night and with your thoughts. So get in tune with, like, your own love story with yourself. And I think that's going to be the best way to be able to be heart open and love someone to the fullest and trust someone with all your soul. And it's possible. It's so possible. And it's so beautiful when you can go through some dark times and then find the light and be able to love in the light as well. It's so doable.
That's so well put. So even if you have a sucky love story, just know there is hope for an unsucky love story this Valentine's Day.
Always. Love is the best. All you need is love. Oh.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed Brittany Louise Taylor's incredible story that she shared with us. If you haven't yet, check out her book, A Sucky Love Story, Overcoming Unhappily Ever After. Check out her YouTube channel. And we will be back next week with our Q&A episode, one of our favorites. We love it so much. You guys asked such great questions and we have some very interesting answers.
So we'll see you next week
and happy Valentine's Day.
Over 500,000 women swear by the original True Body Bra by TrueandCo.com. The True Body Bra looks amazing when you put it on, with soft fabric that smooths you out in all the right places while still giving you the support you need.
The best part, it has no wires, so it's super comfortable for all day wear. Try the original True Body Bra from True & Co. today with free and easy returns.
Save 15% now when you go to TrueandCo.com/challenged and enter the code CHALLENGED with a D. That's TrueandCo.com/challenged.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.